O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? Our professional parts people will test it for free. If it does need to be replaced, we'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Our Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always here, ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance, and I'm back. The devil thought he had me down, but I'm back. And to all those out there listening to me, we have tonight, we have an all-star lineup. We have the Courageous Craig on the board.
Good evening, everybody, and it's great to have you back.
And we have way out deep in the heart of Texas, none other than Big John McTernan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and all our listeners.
Thank you, Big John. And then we have way out there in Missouri, None other than the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
Yeah, that highly unpaid professional assistant is back with you and doing well, and I want to thank all the listeners for their prayers because you and I needed them this week, and we are both doing a lot better than expected.
You're not kidding. And right here live in the studio, I have with me Ron Hertz, my techie.
Good evening, everyone.
And I, Pastor Ernie, back
in the saddle.
Back in the saddle as their hero. I'm glad to be their hero. All right. We have a whole lot to get done tonight, don't we? Yes. Okay. So just for it is, and I want to thank, like you said, Joe, I want to thank all the folks out there for their prayers and all of those that rushed to our aid and when we needed it. And so,
right, and I want to ask everybody to keep you in prayer because, folks, his problems are not finished. He's doing a lot better, but he's going to require a lot more prayer and medical help in the future here.
Yeah, we'll get it done.
He might not say it, but I'll do it for him.
We'll get her done. We got.
Yep.
We're going to keep. Remember what we have, the saying that in this ministry, when in doubt, charge. When not in doubt, charge anyhow.
Charge anyway.
That's right. Well, it's worked for 50 years.
You only win wars by taking the battle to the enemy. In history, yep. Defensive wars are never won.
That's right. And it's been working for 50 years. Now, I want you to stop and think about it, even before we get into the Bible study tonight. John and Joe, now think about it. Who were the first people, the very first people that you heard, even before he was president, talking about the Biden crime cartel? Who were the very first people that were talking about the fact that the Biden crime cartel were in cahoots, hand in hand with the Mexican drug cartel, and also with the human smugglers? Who were the first people, even before he was president, even when he was still vice president? Who was the one?
This radio ministry.
We were right out there in front of everybody, in front of Fox News, in front of everybody. We were telling you about this. Who has been talking about all the way back, Joe and John, you remember all the way back when we had Ted Gunderson, and we were talking about the children, the smuggling of the children. It's been going on for decades. We've been telling people, and how about the horrible, horrible infanticide, but what was going on within the Democratic Party, how pedophilia, you know, the entire party is flush with pedophilia, and little by little it's coming out. And there was things that we couldn't even bring out yet because they were so wicked that nobody would believe us. We'd lose credibility. So we had to bring it out piece by piece because people just weren't ready to believe this stuff. So we're not going to quit, and as we're going to continue till the Lord comes back. And tonight we're going to pick it up where we left off in Acts chapter 5. Remember, the title was When the Righteous Indignation is Endowed with Courage. When righteous indignation is endowed with courage. Remember what we were saying. What if all the pastors had to preach this message? What if all the pastors had the courage to do and to say what we're saying? What if all the pastors out there, what if they all had the courage? What if Franklin Graham had the courage to say, Joe Biden, you need to repent of that. Joe Biden, you need to repent of that pedophilia. You need to repent of all of that, your wickedness, your corruption, Joe Biden. What if he had the courage to say that to Nancy Pelosi and Chuckie Schumer? What if all of the pastors had the courage to do that? Remember who did? John the Baptist did, and the Apostle Paul did, and Peter did, but more than anybody else, it was the Lord Jesus. Amen. Remember?
And remember, there's about 340,000 pastors. What a shockwave that would be.
If they only had the courage. And you know what? The Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. The righteous are as bold as lions.
And what we've got is a bunch of baby kittens that hardly can meow with their eyes closed.
Yep, you're not kidding. Well, you know, years ago when I was young, I felt like the Lone Ranger because I felt like I was the only one preaching it. And then as times went by, more and more, you know, God raised up more and more people. Back in those days, we still had a bunch like Pastor Lenz and Pastor Woodby. We had Roy Thomas. We had Oliver B. Green. We had Greg Dixon, and I'm thinking of some of the others that we had back in those days that have all gone home to be with the Lord. And so, but these were men, Peter Ruckman, these were men, all of these men who had been on this radio program over the years. Pastor Earl Black was another one, and Pastor Ken Sundemeyer. They had the guts to stand up and preach. Preach the hard messages. Preach what should have been done. And so,
this was one of the only radio shows they could come on and talk.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed in a lot of others. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, yeah, they wouldn't have been allowed in too many others. And here now, they're,
turned down a lot.
Well, they, back in the early days of radio, boy, they would accuse me of being a radical, with inflammatory rhetoric. In other words, preaching the gospel and using the terminology from the King James Bible and not the New Age.
You mean where using the sword of the Lord? How
yep.
dare you, Pastor Ernie? How dare
You're
you
not...
be the church militant?
Well, that's what we're going to do tonight. And so let's start in Acts chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 17 through 23. Joe, you pick it up in 24. Pick it up in 24 and read it through, all the way through, let me see, read it all the way through 33, and then John, you pick it up in 33 and read it all the way through 37, and we're going to have Ron, you pick it up in 38, verse 38 to the end, which would be 42. Acts chapter 5, starting with verse, you're going to be in verse 38 through, okay. Yeah, I had earlier told him he didn't have to read the scripture tonight, so I switched up on him. Okay, Acts chapter 5.
Everybody you like.
Yeah, all righty. Well, it's part of his training.
Oh, okay.
He got to be prepared at all times, don't you? Okay, let's get going. Here you go. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is in the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and they laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. And the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the descendants of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut up safely, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we opened in, we found no man within.
Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have them stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us? Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him.
And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth for a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught.
But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Okay, so now we've got to do some comparison here, because when we're studying the Word of God, if we can't make it applicable, in other words, if we can't see how it's got an application to today and to how it applies to our lives today, then it's not really too much good to us, is it? So if we take a look at here, we took a look at the high priest. Now, they were the sect of the Sadducees here, but they were a part of the Sanhedrin, which were a number of 70 in what was called their Senate, that was in their Senate. And so here now again, we take a look at the high priest. This was the council that they had. And if we take a look at that and we compare that to remember what they calling those that were arrested on January 6th, they were called Christian nationalists, Christian nationalists, okay? And so they were brought before the committee. Now, the committee were made up of Democrats on this committee, but they were just a part of the Democratic Party Congress and Senate. Now, if we go back to the Sanhedrin and that council, they only had a prosecution. There was no defense, just a prosecution. If we go to...
Like January 6th, is that what you're getting at, the January 6th committee?
That's right. They only had a prosecution. They had no defense. And so here now, they were supposed to be made up, that council committee, of Republicans and Democrats. There wasn't. There were two rhinos, which are Democrats. And there was, in both cases, there was no defense, only a prosecution. In both cases, what they did was not really even lawful, okay? And so in both cases there, what you had was the Christians were arrested. Here's what it says, what took place. And when the high priest and the captain of the chief priest heard these things, they doubted, they were doubting what was being said here, how they got in. We know that the news media, NBC, ABC, CBS, all the fake news media, PMS, NBC, CNN, Fox News, Lloyd, they all had propaganda against the Christian nationals. We saw that here, that they took the apostles and they beat them and they threw them in prison. And then we see that with the January 6th, the Christian nationalists, or the patriots, whatever, they took them, they beat some of them to death, and they threw them in prison. And so we're looking now here, Gamaliel came. Now, Gamaliel was actually the Apostle Paul's mentor. And so he came, and he put a warning. He warned them, the council, Listen, if these men are who they say they are, then you will find yourself fighting against God. That's not a good place to be. Who was it that has warned that committee, that corrupt, and I mean extremely and completely and totally corrupt January 6th committee? Who was it that warned them that they're fighting against God? It was us right here.
Right.
Who was it that warned the FBI, who was it to warn them? Look, you cannot stand up against God. You made an oath. God, who made the ear, he hears what's going on. He made the eye, he sees what's going on. But it was not just us. It was radio programs like this one here, like this one, and pastors like you guys all across this country. We were warning them. We're warning them, okay? And we still are. And I preached on the wrath of God. I preached that whole message on that. And so we're seeing all of these things here now here again. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. How do you think, you two guys tell me, how would that apply to the Christian nationals that were arrested and beaten and thrown in prison in January? These, they're political prisoners by the Democratic Satanic Communist Party.
Very, very similar. I mean, they're being held as political prisoners. They're being held, they're having a fake, you know, trial. And they're going after them because they were standing for what was right, what was righteous. So there's a lot of what I call a corollary there.
Okay.
Very similar circumstances. They're kind of like God's anointed in this case.
Okay. John, go ahead.
Well, Pastor Ernie, what do we do? Do we give in to their lies, or do we stick it out to the end? And that's what it really boils down to. Or do we have the ability inside, the strength through Jesus Christ, to stand against their lies to the end? And I think that's really what it boils down to.
Here, let me read this verse. You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, where are the apostles preaching the truth?
Yes.
So they were telling them, you cannot preach the truth. You cannot tell the truth. You cannot tell the truth. What were those, the January 6th protesters, what were they there for?
The truth about the stolen election. They were protesting that our election was stolen, that there was a criminal conspiracy by the Democratic Party and the U.S. government to steal an election.
Okay. So history records this very day, of course, with ours here. Now, you won't hear any of this kind of history on NBC, ABC, and CBS, or PMSNBC. They are anti-Christ, anti-Christian. But history records that the apostles today were heroes of the faith, are they not?
Absolutely.
And will not history also record that those January 6th protesters that went there to protest the stealing, the theft, that had the courage, to go and stand up for righteousness, will not history record them as heroes too?
Boy, I hope so.
Pastor Ernie, I don't know how much history is left. I don't know how much time's left to make history. But yes. Yes, Pastor. It always works out that way. You know, evil seems to triumph up front, but in the long run, the truth comes out, and who was a hero during the evil, yes, they are looked at as, you know, as heroes.
So that passage of Scripture has got such an application to what has been happening today, doesn't it? If you look at how many things were the very same.
Yeah, nothing changes, Pastor Ernie, really. You know?
Absolutely.
Evil is evil, and it really, what we're seeing today with the Democrat Party and the rhinos going along with it is really nothing more than the tactics of the Nazis and the tactics of the communists and whatever two-bit tyrant is out there. They can only do certain things, and this is what they do.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to have lightning rounds because, boy, I'm going to tell you, they're at it again, and I'm going to ask you guys all to pray some imprecatory prayers tonight, and I'm going to ask all of our listeners out there to do as those that went before us and pray imprecatory prayers against the uncleanness, against the darkness out there. How many times have we warned them? How many times have we warned them to repent or perish? And so how many other times? What did Jesus, when he preached, and unless you repent, you too will suffer the same, okay?
Yep.
And so We'll be back right after this. We got a lot to come tonight. Be right back with more.
Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Remember me, or am I just a number? Who's white and straight and doesn't qualify for an aid? Remember me, I helped you get elected. But you haven't done one thing you said you'd do. But even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember you. Remember me, I served my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight raids? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too. Well, even though you're hoping just to get to remember, I'll remember you. I'll remember.
I'll remember.
In November.
In November.
As I step into the little booth, I'll remember.
Alrighty, we're back. Boy, you'll bet you will remember in November. Boy, will you bet we will. And goodbye, rhinos, too. So, anyhow, I wanted to just finish with this. Remember what Gamaliel said? He said that if it be of man, it'll just fade away. But if it be of God, you'll find yourself fighting against God. Well, are we going to let January 6th just fade away?
No.
No, we are not going to let it.
That would be a coward's act to let that stand and go by.
Are we going to demand that those that are in prison be let loose and those that put them there be put in?
That's what should be.
Yeah.
John?
Yeah, this election now, of course, we got the element in it where they can steal, but I think it's been in many states, it's been really tightened up. And in fact, the last week or so, there's been a lot of court rulings in our favor.
Yeah.
Tightening up the states. So we'll see. I mean, the reality out there, I can sense it, feel it. And as I study what's going on, it's going to be overwhelming to clean out a lot of the evil in Washington. And January 6th, this is following January 6th. You follow, Pastor Ernie, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah. January 6th was like the point, and now the Army is following behind. So that's the way I look at this. Assuming that we can cut through the theft and
well,
everything.
We can, John, if the Christians vote, we've talked several times in this program about how many Christians aren't even registered. One out of four that are registered don't vote. And if those millions and millions of unregistered or Christians that didn't vote get out and obey God and go vote and elect Christians to be their leaders, we'll win handily. But a lot depends on whether or not the so-called, quote, Christians vote.
Well, Nancy Pelosi is trying to put out the image that she knows. Here's what she says. She says, we will hold the House by winning more seats, Pelosi told Democrats that we will sweep. Now, in other words, she's putting out a message. The message that she's trying to tell the Democrats is the fix is in. Don't worry about it. The fix is in. We got it. We got it taken care of. Do you think that? Do you think she does have it taken care of? Do you think that there's a big enough fix? Because I know a number of the high-tech companies now are knowing they're watching, and they're trying to back down. Google is still out there fighting against the Republicans for wanting to censor the Republican candidates. But anyhow, do you think Nancy's right? Do you think they've got enough of a fix in to try to pull it off?
I don't think so.
Like I said, oops, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Al.
No, I said go ahead, John. I said I don't think so. How about you?
Yeah, on our side, what is very interesting, there's been a lot of laws passed. You take Arizona and you take Wisconsin, Michigan, and there's other states also where laws were passed to tighten up that they can't do what they did in the presidential election. They can't do it. So that's a big plus. I don't think people are going to be running out to vote for Joe Biden and the Democrats. There's going to be a huge switch from the Spanish over to our side. Even the blacks, black people, there's a significant move by them to our side, as they can see the Democrats are trying. It's not their agenda is to destroy and kill us. So the vast majority, the independents, they're going to come our way. So except for the cheating, I think that we're going to do very well in this election.
All right.
As long as there isn't a false flag between now and then to stop it.
Yeah, Ron, you wanted to compare January 6th to the X5.
Yeah, one interesting item is that both the January 6th folks and Peter and Paul were bound by God's law and God's protections, but we actually have an additional one in the Constitution, the right to redress government, a fair and speedy trial in front of a jury of our peers. And none of that has happened. So I think that's something that is even more grievous than what has happened, you know, back in the biblical time.
Yeah. Yep. Already here. I got to make
a Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to add. This just broke, I think, yesterday or maybe Thursday, but I think it was yesterday, where there was some man that was arrested for leaking all sorts of voter information to China.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what is that's what we've been saying. You know, we've been saying that the Chinese were involved in this, in overthrowing our election. And now he was voter information was being sent from here over to China. Why?
Well,
why?
Ron's got it. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, there was an article. Basically, the New York Times published a story about a group of election deniers. I guess that's folks like us. We gathered at an invitation-only conference in August at a secret location in Phoenix. Now, the story actually broke out of there. It was a company called Conage Corp., a small election software company based in Michigan, which had secret ties to the Chinese Communist Party. And given the Chinese government backdoor access to personal data to about 2 million poll workers. The very next day, the CEO, Eugene Yu, a 51-year-old, was arrested on suspicion of stealing identifying information on hundreds of Los Angeles County poll workers and storing the data on servers located in China. That's a violation of the contract they had with Los Angeles County. Now, oddly enough, the ones that actually did all the research on this was True the Vote, and they were actually able to track the IP addresses to confirm all this. So, I mean, this wasn't even news on any other site whatsoever. Like you said, it was just broken recently, but not many people are carrying it.
Right. World Daily, WND.com put the story out. It was one of the places you can always find some truth.
Yep.
Well, you know, the National Pulse puts out, Natalie Winters wrote an article, exclusive election firm Connect sent poll data to China, donated all political cash to the Democrats, including Joe Biden. All political donations made by employees to Connect, the election management company whose CEO was recently arrested for allegedly storing information on election workers in servers in China, went to support Democratic candidates, the National Pulse can reveal. The Unearthed Political Association of the company, according to Federal Election Commission, FEC database, follows the arrest of Konex CEO Eugene Yu. The Michigan-based company, which managed software responsible for organization poll workers in Los Angeles County, is now part of an investigation into the possible theft of personally identifying information on those workers, according to authorities. The Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office explained that the firm was supposed to securely maintain the data and that only United States citizens and permanent residents have access to it, but instead secretly stored it on servers in China. Now, here's my question is, who's going to prosecute these people?
That's a great question.
Garland will prosecute him, Pastor Ernie.
Speaking of Garland, U.S. charges 11 pro-life activists for alleged violations of federal law. U.S. prosecutors charged 11 pro-life activists for violating federal law by blocking access to a bloody whorehouse of death called an abortion clinic in Tennessee in 2021. Prosecutors say Chester Gallagher and others conspired to block a clinic in Mount Juliet. They call it a clinic. It's a bloody place where they butcher babies. And only unclean, ungodly, evil, wicked people would even refer to such a place as a clinic. But you people have absolutely no standards. No honor, no decency, no integrity, none. Just none. Utilizing Facebook to coordinate travel and logistics for co-defendants. It goes on to say, if I can get the pages apart, I'll give you some of the rest of this article. Here you go. Caroline Davis, also a defendant, at one point wrote to Coleman Boyd, who was also charged, that she would meet him for a rescue in Tennessee in March 2021. God bless these people. God bless them.
Yeah.
Okay. I've, you know, been arrested myself many times out there for doing the right thing, for rescuing those being led to slaughter and drawn to death, exactly the way God's Word, the Bible, demands us to do. Exactly. The group did block a woman, an employee, from entering the bloody whorehouse of death. Authorities said, citing live stream broadcast by Boyd, the broadcast was titled Mount Juliet, Tennessee Rescue, March 5, 2021. The group went into a hallway outside the bloody clinic and to entry doors before it was scheduled to open. Gallagher said in a separate live stream that he and those with him were willing to be incarcerated to rescue families from the place of destruction. Local police officers arrested 9 people, including Gallagher. The people, you know, you cops that did that, you should have taken off your, if you had any integrity, listen, if you had any integrity, if you could look me in the eye, I would love to have you. John, remember what happened, the nightmare in Pittsburgh? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, Pastor Ernie.
Remember?
I wasn't there, but I remember vividly about what happened, the details of that.
I went down there after they did that, after those dirty cops, those cowardly cops, the ones that listened to that wicked woman that was in charge. She gave him instructions on to make sure these women never want to take part in another rescue before, and they molested Christian ladies, real ladies down there. And so, anyhow, I went on the air, and the cops were all down there when they had a protest at the trial. And I said, I want to come down there, and I want to look. I want to walk in front of all of those cops that were a part of that, and I want them to look me in the eye, okay? And as I walked down there, they would look away. They couldn't. You know, these guys are cowards. Just like Mr. Chris Rea's Dirty 30. You know, again, I've said it before. In that movie, The Wizard of Oz, when you had the witch, and like you have Hillary. I mean, Hillary is an actual witch. She's the head of a covenant. People don't realize that a lot of them.
Is her name.
Yeah. But those Dirty 30 FBI agents remind me of those flying monkeys. Hillary's flying monkeys. That's what they remind me of, okay? And, you know, I praise the good Lord that there are more and more people within the FBI. More and more of them have said, you know what, we're not going to, I didn't sign up for this. This is not, you know, it wasn't this way when I don't want any part of this. And they're blowing the whistle. They're going in and they're telling people. And I don't blame them a bit. I would get out of there as quickly as I can myself, because can you imagine your children saying, Dad, do you really work for them? Is that what you do? Do you go in and you kick doors in the middle of the night and point rifles in the faces of little children, Dad? Is that what you do?
Yep. That's what they did at Gallagher's house. They busted in with guns drawn again, going into a, you know, Christian pro-life home. No weapons, no, I mean, there was no reason to go in combat gear, guns drawn, but I've got a follow-up I've just got to put in right now because it goes right along. This is good news, but I'll tie in the good news to this story. An appeals court, the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, threw out a big lawsuit by Planned Predators against the state. It was North Dakota, and they threw out their injunction. What it was is they had put that women would have to, if you considered abortion there, you would have to go visit a pregnancy health center, you know, maybe look at the baby on a ultrasound. And Planned Predators, of course, had a fit over that, so they made an injunction. This battle's been going on for years because South Dakota was trying to stop abortions. Anyway, this Eighth Circuit Court threw it all out, so now all women that want an abortion there in South Dakota, Governor Kristi Noem, however you pronounce it, was working with them. It's a big, big victory for life. But in this, the court, when the court gave their report on it, they talked about, well, as we looked into this, we found out that the women that worked at the clinic, they weren't trained in medicine, they weren't trained in biology, embryology, psychology, even counseling. Their training, their principal training, was overcoming a woman's misgivings about abortion. That was all they were trained to do. And it went on, got in there. The object of counseling was to probe these women for factors that would dispose women to get their abortion. They were employed to persuade every woman that abortion is her best option, really her only option, and their job is to secure her signature on the necessary forms, unquote. They talked about Planned Predator had monthly quotas, revenue targets, and there was evidence submitted that staff members there ignored a woman who kept telling the clinic that her parents were forcing her to abort. She didn't want to, but her parents were forcing her to. That was supposed to, by law, be reported, right, to the authorities. So this was done by the ACLJ, and it's a huge win for pro-life across the nation, and it showed a lot of the dirty things that go on in Planned Parenthood. I just had a couple of the highlights, but it ties right into what you were saying. They lie, cheat, steal. They do everything to get women to have abortion. They never tell them the truth.
Again, you know, right, Planned Predators is the most wicked, ungodly, evil, creeping, crawling purveyor of death on the planet. There is nothing too low for them. I mean, planned predators, they've killed more human beings than any army in the entire world.
Exactly. Well, their counselors are only what? Trained salespeople to force the women to get their abortion. That's all they are. They're not counselors. They're not family planning. They're trained to sell abortions, period.
They're devils from the pit of hell.
And we've got that in the 8th Circuit Court.
Yeah, John.
Planned Parenthood murders about 330,000 babies a year. And back years ago, they did more. So if you figure, that's what they're reporting. But if the ones they report, if you look at 330,000 a year and you go back and back and back, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, look at the numbers that adds up, Pastor. And going back to, you know, when they first started after Roe versus Wade, I mean, that's every 10 years is 3 million. That's 6 million, 9 million. Probably they've killed, as reported, probably 15, 20 million babies this term.
Oh, yeah, probably a lot more than that.
Can I add 40% or more of those babies, 40 to 45%, were black babies. Yet the black population is only around 17, 18% of the total population. But 40 to 45% of all those abortions were black babies. I call that genocide.
In Pennsylvania, I don't know what the statistics are now, but at Planned Parenthood was 47%, almost 50% of the babies they aborted in Pennsylvania were black.
Right.
And the population, the black population in Pennsylvania was about 15%. So there you go.
Where are the churches? There are 330,000, 40,000 pastors out there. How many of them say this is genocide of black children? They're killing the black children. They're ruining the futures of all those black families. And yet, what do we hear from the so-called, quote, I say, quote, church? We hear crickets.
Well, there's more than there was a while ago, but there's not nearly enough. There's not nearly what there should be.
And sometimes it's not even crickets. They're actually promoting the abortions.
Well, talking about, you're talking about the apostate church, the World and National Council. These are not Christian churches. These are churches of Satan. These are satanic Christians.
Yeah,
the World and National Council, they embrace, if God's Word, the Bible calls it sin, an abominable sin, they embrace it. And so, in a riveting interview on January 6th, victim Victoria White describes unbelievable bare-fisted beatings by D.C. dirty cops on January 6th and the nightmare that followed. We had the honor and the pleasure to speak with a real lady, interview Victoria White on Sunday. We hope you take the time to watch the review interview. Victoria is a wonderful American, committed mother, a victim of unbelievable police violence. And we saw those two racist cops murder those Christians there in D.C. Victoria White from Rochester, Minnesota, attended the Stop and Steal rally in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Like many Americans, they did it. It was her first time she ever visited Washington, D.C. She was excited to attend a rally and stand with President Trump at the Ellipse. I would be excited to stand with a real lady like her. What started as a wonderful trip with family and friends turned into a bloody nightmare. Victoria White was nearly killed by dirty D.C. cops during the rally. The dirty cops beat her in the face and the shoulders nearly 40 times with sticks in their fists. The dirty cops dragged her through the U.S. Capitol shoeless and forced her to wait outside without a phone. These cowards, they released her without a coat or a ride, and they released her hours later. This was Victoria, broke up Antifa activists breaking windows as the U.S. Capitol. That added insult to injury, the FBI later raided her home and arrested her in Minnesota. Yeah, these were Hillary's flying monkeys.
Yeah.
Victoria White was
brave men to beat up a woman, right? Especially with five or six cops. I wonder how many it takes to beat up a real man.
Yeah.
If it takes five or six to beat a woman. It's pathetic. This is not the America I grew up in. And I'll tell you, folks, if you don't get out there and vote this year and vote these bums out of office, this country is going to get exactly what it deserves if people do not rise up and say, in the name of Christ, we're not putting up with this anymore. We are going to defend our children, our families, our grandchildren.
She has hit approximately 35 times over the course of 4 minutes and 30 seconds while appearing to be begging for mercy the entire time. She is hit with batons while facing away. She is hit with the baton while facing forward. She's spread and poked with a baton about the face so as to inflict maximum pain. She collapses more than once and stood up by the officers only to be maced and beaten again. At some point, White Shirt puts away his baton, not because he's showing mercy, because he has a clear avenue to her face, and such as he unloads the defenseless woman, punching her 5 times in 5 seconds directly in the face with all of his might. Those were the dirty, dirty D.C. cops. That's what
they should be in prison for many, many, many years, not being, you know, paid to.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Folks, 30 days, you've got election. You can put, if we get the right people back in office, we can go after these dirty cops. They need to be in jail. Every one of them needs to be in jail. Okay, but and people got to get out. They got to get out and they got to vote. Listen, we're not going to let them get away with it. You've got to get out, you've got to vote, and they got to go to prison. They got to go for what they're doing. All right, and attention, Ohio. I'll tell you about this. To sign a petition to amend the Ohio Constitution to guarantee that all Ohioans maintain autonomy over their body and their medical choices. And we need these signatures to get this on the Ohio ballot for the May 2023 ballot petition. And our deadline is November 30th. I'll tell you more about this here as we get to... Well, I'll tell you more about it next week, I think. There you go on that. All right. Also, I wanted to say this real quick, too. Matt Gaetz says, Renos and GOP elites are already planning business as usual if Republicans take the House. I'm going to tell you something, you guys. I'm going to, and I want you to help me. We get the House back. We need to load those Rhinos phone lines down every day. Those rhinos need to hear from us every single day, and we'll get a list of the rhinos. We'll get a list of their phone numbers and demand that people call them every day. Have we had enough of the rhinos? Are we tired of being betrayed? There's no more room between our shoulder blades for daggers, are there?
That the man head of the Republican House there, what's his name? McCarthy, is it?
Yeah, McCarthy. Yeah,
Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, he was actively sabotaging the primary race of like senatorial candidate in Missouri and another one, I think, in Maine. They were going against the Republicans because they were pro-Trump, and they were trying to settle.
Arizona was another one they were active in.
All right, you guys got to get your information ready. We'll get it out there. We'll burn their phone lines down. And if we have to...
We had enough of them, Pastor, and our country is going down, and they're a big part of it.
Okay, hang tight, fellas. We'll be back right after this. More to come, a whole lot more to come. Don't go away.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.